All right, welcome everybody. Sandell podcast number 15, man. We are already at 15. Pepe, last you and I spoke, I was at 13, I think. 14 even. Mm-hmm. So 13, yeah. Mm-hmm. So a couple days ago, I interviewed another advisory board member, Nia Bao. So she turns out she's the co-founder of DAOBase, which is a big DAO aggregator. And I tweeted about it last night because it's basically what I do with the scoreboard and the checkbook, but on a much grander scale. And I'm a big, big fan because it shows all the voters and how they voted. About the only thing it's missing is the contact information, which, yeah. So stuff that we'll have to figure out. I got a sip coming up for that, by the way. But that's not why we're here. Today, we're here to do part two of Magic Palette with Pepe. And part one was all about the concept, and part two is going to be all about magic, being in Magic Palette to sculpt it to what you need it to be. So we'll go over the beginnings one more time. Scope of the talk, SIP, it's going to be an update of SIP number 6, which is Magic Palette, and a demo. A disclaimer is, Pep and I don't represent the Sandbox game or the Sandbox Foundation. We're not your financial or legal advisors, and nothing we say is to be taken as such. Scoreboard hasn't changed since last we talked on Friday. Still have two, right? I think they're still going on right now. They don't have much longer to go. So SIP 10 and SIP 9 need your vote. Quorum is struggling. It's struggling bad. So even SIP 10 is not even broken 50%, even though it has 66% of the vote. Whereas SIP 9, it's right neck and neck, 50-50 almost. And it too has struggled to meet quorum. It's at 33% of the vote. Please go vote. If you vote yes or vote no, just go vote. So there we go. Checkbook. We're still sitting at 13% spent of the $15.5 million. This slide I did add since Friday, Pepe. This is the DAOBase.ai. So I spoke to Nia Bao on Sunday, so yesterday, and she's an advisory board member. She founded DAOBase, which is a big aggregator, and it shows more so than what my stuff could show, how many token holders there are, how many voters there are, how the treasury is being spent over time, how the voters are voting per vote. So you can look up the members and see who has the 27, which wallet has the 27 million votes. We know which wallet that is. That's Sandbox. But then who has the $3 million, the $5 million, and all the way down. And how do they vote? Yes or no in the past number of SIPs. So really, really cool. I highly recommend it. Awesome. DAOBase.ai. I tweeted a link to it. Go ahead, Pepe.
Yeah. Is this for any DAO kind of?
Yes.
How is it structured?
There are over 160,000 DAOs in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized I'm not sure if I'm online. Hold on.
Looks good.
Can you see me?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can see me. Oh, okay. Then I guess it's my own internet.
Looks good. On Twitch, it all looks fine.
Yeah, all right. It's cool. Then we're good to go. So, yes, DAOBase.ai, I sent a tweet about it. Check it out. It is what you want to see about a DAO, all the intelligence that you would want to know about how it's spending, its proposals. It's cool. I like it a lot. Introductions. I'm the podcast host. I'm a landowner. I've published two experiences, almost at my third. And the way things are going with Magic Palette, I'll be at 20 experiences in no time flat. So you'll see, Magic Palette is so easy, even I can use it, and I'm not really too much of a builder. So this is really geared toward people like myself, and it will enhance the people who are really good at building experiences like Touche and AU24K, pets. Like, so Eduardo from Meta Theory, this will enhance you if you're good, and it will get you started if you're not, like me. So, Pepe, up to you.
Well said. Awesome. Yeah, it definitely should be an accelerator. And it covers especially this early design phase where you kind of flesh out your idea and bringing it to life. And this is where we come in with Magic Palette that we develop here on with my team on with Sandrush here. It's quite a journey, and it came quite a long way already, and super excited to bring it into the hands of all you guys who build, who create, who really will bring the most out of it.
Yeah. Remind me again, Pepe, when is this expected to deliver into the hands of the community?
Yeah. So we have structured our SIP and our kind of process through the development that is still ongoing. So we have already invested quite a lot of effort, time, and money into bringing it to a fully working state. To be able to push it to a better release, we still have a few features and kind of technical things that we want to have ready. And therefore, we have structured it into four phases. The first phase is already completed. This is kind of the groundwork that we needed to lay. We are now working on phase two. We are testing. Phase two is centered around also a few core features. Oh, cool. I just did see Alex to join. Yeah, he's.
Yeah, I see that. Alex is part of your team.
Yes, he's one our lead artist.
And what would you say, Pepe, when it's ready to be released, are we talking like 6 months, a year, less than that?
Oh, no, way less.
Way less? Perfect.
Yes, of
perfect.
Of course.
Cool. No, let's jump right into
happen.
It.
Yeah, this will happen this year. Already in the next few months.
Awesome. So you heard it. Next few months.
Yeah, next few months.
Next
We roll out to... we already have a rollout to TSB internal level design and art team.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their hands on it and tested heavily on their own productions already. So internal TSB production. This is an ongoing process as well. Super glad and grateful that these, I would call them power users, because I mean, these level designers from the sandbox itself, they really daily push experiences for clients and for IPs. So we are super excited to have these already working with Magic Palette and giving us very valuable feedback.
Yeah.
The next phase will then be the beta release. After that, this is expected in, let's say, 2 months from now, approximately, where we give access to everyone that has signed up on magicpalette.io. You can register yourself, just drop your email, and you will get on the list.
Awesome.
This beta version.
This little pre-register button right here.
Yeah.
Well, we started off an episode one on Friday was we talked about what happened after SIP was passed. Then we started going into the design process. So that was just us starting from scratch as if you were really using Magic Palette. That's what we wanted to do. And we're about to get returned to that. So step one was we started first with a concept. We went through the pre-production, which was I chose an island city, and then we went to step two, which was build the mini-map. Pepe chose to build it within VoxEdit because it gave him a little bit more customization, a little bit more power to what he wanted to build, So the mini map served as a small little draft, and then that was step two. That was a 48x48x60, and then he expanded it to the normal. If you're doing a 1x1, it's 96x96x128. If you're doing a 2x2, it's 192x192x126. So he expanded the mini map to the larger realistic dimensions, and then finished the block out. So we finished the block out, and we left off with step four, which was importing that into Magic Palette, which is where we will return now to showcase the power of Magic Palette. So a couple things that caught my eye was, one, he used Magic of Voxel, but you could also use Vox Edit in order to do your blockouts. And your blockouts is importable into Magic Palette, which is hugely different already. So if you are a game maker at all, you know you have to block, 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 block. You have to place your blocks. It's painstaking, but you got to do it. This streamlines that big time. Big time. So you use the power of VoxEdit to mass produce blocks. And then if you're using Magic of Voxel or different parts of VoxelEdit, you can use shaders and gradients to create some customization. Import that into Magic Palette, and now we'll see the power of that here in just a few seconds. So we're now on step number five, which is to start assigning blocks in Magic Palette. I think we'll get through that today, and then whatever is left over, we will finish tomorrow, and we will finish it off with a discussion with his experience after the SIP passed, and then unlocking milestone payments to the development that he just spoke about, power users. I'll throw in that question too, and then understand how has the SIP process gone for him, so that those of you who are doing your own SIPs can have a good idea for someone who's gone through it. And that's how we'll finish this out. So, step number five. Let me bring up the presentation. I lost it. Oh, there it is.
Yes,
bring it to the forefront. And there we go. So, Pepe, I'm showing your screen now, and it's ready to go.
Awesome. That's great. Let me check one thing. I think last time we had a resolution problem. Do you see me?
Yep, I see it good. I see it well.
Is it well? I think. What was it last time? It was kind of the.
Yep, last time it was a little grainy. Oh, it is right now again. So we need to do that adjustment that we made. And while you're doing that, I will create the zoom in function. And
yes, it was something with the.
So as he is working through, I will keep the steps going, so that you can, just like last time, you'll see the steps as I follow along with him. There we go. So we're on step five. The expected delivery is in just a few months. It's pretty exciting. I mean, in terms of how SIP's gone, this is a very ideal thing. We're already demoing the SIP itself and what it's going to produce. So I'd say money well spent on the DAO.
That's great. I need to check. Last time we had something with the frame rate, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the frame rate. Oh, you know what? I can help. I'll help adjust it.
Cool.
And so under video settings, frame rate is at 60 now, and it looks, it still looks a little bit, I think it's the height and the width. It's 720 by 1280.
Mm-hmm. Let me check. I only have limited. Ah, yes. Frame rate was 60. And then we had something.
Yes, there you go. Now it's fixed.
Yes. Nice. Nice.
Excellent.
Because much better if you guys see what we are doing.
You should be able to see things at a much higher rate now.
Yes, this is great. This should work now. As said, please, pre-register, because as I explained, we kind of go live with a beta version first. Once we release this version, we really look forward to your feedback. It will be a version where export functions will be limited quite a bit. But still, you have the option to finally do your own maps and create them and assign blocks as we do today. And from there, we then go live with the full version for everybody. Magic Palette is and should be always be free, available to all builders. That was always our intention. And we have a lot of exciting stuff that is even not noted in the SIP that we are developing right now and adding
little bonus items. Okay. Cool.
Of course. Always. But let's dive in for today.
So last thing we did was we imported the island city. And yeah, we were exactly. just about to start assigning blocks, as you said. Can you explain what that means to assign a block?
Definitely. Let's give a short recap, because I had a quick minute where I did refine our map just slightly. You see it here in the center. It's basically what we did last time, but I just added these walls, city walls, and a bit of a bit of details, not much more that we had. Maybe we can go back even to our first version.
So we started with the block on the left, and then you added the shader, which was the water.
Yes, for example, yeah, that was one of the, you can flood your scene. You see it here. If I choose
and then we made it sandstone so that it wouldn't be so dark and scary.
Yeah, that was your wish. I refined the, you can see it here, the mini map kind of that we.
Oh, and it renders the shading. Okay, got it.
Yeah, okay. I added a few caves and all that because you said you want to be able to dive into. Yep.
And if you're looking to see how we did that, look at Friday's episode, so Sendell Podcast 13, and you'll see how we did that block out.
Exactly. From there, we scaled it up from a really small size where you can work 48
by 48 by 60 is what you had it as.
Yeah, and then we already go larger. This is kind of, this would be a 1x1, as you see here.
So that'd be 96 by 96 by 128. See, I was paying attention.
All perfect. And here I started to lay out the city walls. Oh, maybe we should, just to complete the whole idea, there was this. This was the reference image, just that you guys see.
I'm okay. We can proceed right through it. That's fine with me.
Yeah, perfect. So this is where we started, kind of.
Yeah, so we had some inspiration from a concept art. Yep, this is good with me. This is all good.
Cool. And we have now these rock formations. And on top, the city walls and the towers, very simple and abstract for now.
Yep.
And this is now the...
Oh, I see what you did. Okay. So you added some grass patches. You added some secondary layers to the wall.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Okay. So we can see what we have here is kind of still, as I would call it, a simple block out, but already a few details dialed in.
It's starting to be an enhanced block out, Pepe. Don't sell yourself short.
Yes, exactly. But I wanted to add a bit more water, you know, these waterfalls here, down there, in the back walls.
And add some waterfalls. Okay.
Yes. And what you also will see, and what you just mentioned, so we have here, this is the water volume that we afterwards will kind of be able
now,
to
now show
through.
Me real quickly, please. How did you do that? That's impressive. I like how you just showed the water so you can see how everyone's going to flow. How did you show the water like that?
Well, the model itself is kind of structured in multiple
entities.
See.
There's like layers, you know?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
You see? So the towers are separated. The sandstone volume is separated.
And does it know that just because of the colors, or how is it differentiating the layers?
Well, it all depends on your preference. Because every artist and every level designer works differently, but I find it quite handy to separate them into kind of multiple building boxes and combining them once you are ready. Even now, we just implemented into Magic Palette that this is not needed. So you even can use multiple objects and have them not combined, which gives you quite a bit more flexibility when it comes to going back and forth. But you can have just one model, drop it in. You can have multiple entities, as you see here. For example, we have just a tower, you know, just a simple tower with a bit of shading. And this is exactly how I usually at least work. So I just separate things.
Okay.
It's also easier to apply shaders. For example, as you see here, we have a gradient shader on the sandstone rock formation.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And also on the
ground. This is stuff you've done inside Magic Palette after you've imported it.
This is all voxel-based. So this is Magicka voxel.
I meant after you've done the gradients, after you've done the shaders,
then we go to Magic Palette. This is what we do now, and that what we want to do today. So we basically are happy with our block out here. Of course, there are a lot of details that I still would add. For example, a few wooden docks, or actually, let's pick a color. This is also something that we covered last time. We just can pick any color for now. This is just a representation, because each color will become a block. This we will see it in a minute. But for example, what I always wanted to see, and I'm not sure if it will look cool or not, but I imagine it would be nice to have a few, bridges or docks or something.
You know? Pepe, I'm good with it. Let's just go right to the magic,
Magic Palette conversation. Yeah.
I'm good with it.
Yeah,
I know you're trying to perfect it because you're good at what you do. Just go roll right into the Magic Palette version.
That's perfect. Yeah. Let me catch this one.
That looks good to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I also think we are definitely good to go to have it for a first run ready. So we save our file as voxel file. And now we fire up my Magic Palette. We are...
there it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So you go to magicpalette.io. If you would log in, then this is what you'll see.
Yeah, basically, everything is web-based. So this gives a much higher it's easier. We did this decision for accessibility. So kind of everybody really just can, as you said, you can log in and use the software from any browser.
Mm-hmm.
And also because if we would go standalone as a standalone app, it would actually be possible to load larger maps or have a bit more powerful features. But we decided against it because of various reasons, especially in the crypto world and scene where we have a lot of scams, sadly, mm-hmm. and all that.
Touché just trainer. Raided, by the way. So Touché and all of his viewers are here.
Oh, nice. Thanks,
Touché. Thank you, Touché. Thank you. Love you, man. We're going to do a podcast. So we're now inside Magic Palette. We were about to import our very finely made, what would you call it? Island castle water place, whatever it is.
Yeah, definitely. Epic water castle.
Hey, play game.
Yeah. Cool.
So Pepe tried to make it more perfect than it already was. And I just said, Pepe, let's go. Let's do it.
Let's roll. Yeah. So let's load the map that we
I had myself did. A fine, nice red so that I can watch and learn. So this is where once you've loaded it, now it loads itself into the web-based browser. And here is the interpretation of the model.
Exactly. Yeah. So okay. This is what Magic Palette does. It kind of takes your, we go now to the palette builder on the right sidebar. We have our palette builder.
And so what am I looking at right now on the right hand side? Why do I see so many blocks? Block colors.
Yeah. So it's divided into, let's say, three sections. We covered the land generator last time. This is for the quick win. Whoever even don't want to touch any voxels, it can generate your map out of the box. Today, we use the palette builder. That's the second tab here. We have a top. We kind of have the inspector, or it shows us. Let me choose another block. We can inspect or have details.
What does it mean to inspect exactly?
Kind of, it shows you the blocks that you are working with.
In this so, like, case, you can zoom here, in on it and see it in more fine detail.
Exactly. Not only that, you see all sides of the block. Similar to what you have in VoxEdit once you create the block.
Did you create even the ASTEC block, or is that somewhere from somewhere else?
So we have a lot of our own blocks that we feed to the Magic Palette database.
Right. Things now that you've created yourself over time in previous experiences?
Yeah, exactly. And especially also in regards to what we think is being used. For example, we have a lot of stone brick blocks, grass blocks, snow blocks, water blocks, lava blocks. So all these, I call them standard sets or block sets that will help a lot of builders to kind of visualize their idea. This is what we did work on over the last few months heavily. So we expanded our block sets to right now we have more than 1,500 blocks already.
1,500 blocks to choose from, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
1,500 blocks. So what does it mean to, let's start from the beginning, start assigning blocks to Magic Palette. What does that sentence mean?
Yes, this is exactly what we do now. Just to finalize what we have here, the important part here, and we can just take a quick look here, actually. We have every block is linked to the kind of, how do you say, the marketplace.
The sandbox marketplace?
Exactly. You see it here. And we'll put up my browser.
How fascinating. Okay, so the inspector allows you to connect it to the marketplace block where you can see. And what does that help you do?
Yes, because in the end, you see it here, we just take the blocks that we created in this case, but there are thousands of other blocks that are really hard to find, sadly, in the marketplace. You can't search for blocks right now. So you need their IDs. This is this ID number up here.
Got it.
Address bar. So to have everything working, we need these blocks because they will be pushed to the final file or level design that we then load into GameMaker in the end, of course, you know. So therefore, every block needs to exist also, or needs to be published in the marketplace. So this is a thing that is needed, and you see it here. It has this ID bar here. We also have a hex code, and the hex code is kind of the
color.
The linking
I get it.
Part. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The color that we see here. And as you see, if I blend out, this is our color model, I would say. This is what we did import from Metrica Voxel as Vox file. And we now assign blocks. Because what, and you see it already here, if I go back to block mode, Metric Palette does this on its own. It kind of figures out the value or the color shade and try to assign the closest blocks that it has right now. This gives you quite quirky outlooks like we see here. It assembles the tower out of really wild blocks. Some of them might be even good to go, but others needs to be refined and
So wait, pause for a second. So you imported the gradients, and it is interpreting each of the gradient models as, it's like replacing it with a different block that is connected to the sandbox marketplace.
Yes, exactly. It's okay. Kind of each color becomes a block. And we, of course, feed the whole system with a huge database.
Automatically, Pepe, or do you have control over which ones?
Yes, that's the cool thing. It does it automatically, as you see here. But it's not usually what you want, you know. Sometimes it can give you quite a nice base layer to work with, but other stuff you just definitely want to assign either your own blocks or a better suited block that will work better with your vision. And this is exactly what we do right now. We have our palette. That's the sidebar on the left. And we have our block library, kind of. And as you see, we have tons of various shades of blocks. For example, here we have a cool lava block. And the neat thing here, you also can search for just lava blocks.
So show me what it means to make one of those assignments. I see the palette. Exactly. I see the blocks. How do you assign
that? That's now what we exactly use Magic Palette for. Okay. So first we start easy. We basically don't want lava, but we want water. So we search for water. It shows us all available water blocks right now. So we choose. We just click one of the blocks that we want to work with. In this case, it's one of these water blocks, and we assign a water block.
Got it.
Give me a second.
Got it. Can you zoom in after you change it like that? Show me what it looks like up front, up close.
Yes, exactly. I just need to see.
And in each of these blocks on the right hand side where it says water, that's connected to a NFT on the marketplace.
Actually, blocks are not NFTs. They are never minted. And this is a decision that comes from TSB. We are kind of happy and sad on this. You never can sell your blocks or so. But we have plans to load all these block sets, for example, the water set that you just see here with various shades of water, in bundles, you know, so that you can really load, because as I just mentioned, we have already more than 1,500 blocks in our library. And we want the user to give the freedom to load what they need, you know. So we certainly provide a base set with all the needed starting blocks, kind of. But from there, you can import your own blocks. You can use our sets. You can add your more. Own. Yeah, exactly.
So where are these blocks housed? The ones that you have, the 1,500. Where do they live?
They live definitely on the marketplace, but as I said, they're really hard to find. You need their ID, and this is exactly the link that Magic Palette does. It grabs the ID and assigns them here in the build.
How did you find them if they're so hard to find?
Because we created them, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And if you are the creator, then you have access
to
the ID.
Yeah, got it.
Yes, exactly. And if you are a builder yourself, you know that you probably or almost certainly also have your own blocks. And this we definitely want to enable. So this comes in phase 3 already, I think, or phase 4, where we present a solution that you as artist also be able to feed kind of your account with your own blocks, you know. Because each and every project has their own ideas and style and vision when it comes to blocks.
So you have a library of 1,500 blocks that you and your team have already created. So you're making that available to the community.
Yeah.
And then you're able to import your own blocks separate from the 1,500 that have already been created.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So as you see, I will zoom in a bit, just here, the landscape. We have assigned, it was ice before.
So when you say assign in this case, you're choosing a color that you imported from the block out. You are replacing that color with the block that is either part of the 1,500 or that you imported.
All right. Yes,
exactly. So that's the magic of it then, huh?
That's the magic sauce.
That's the magic. All right, we figured it out.
Awesome. So we search for grass. Everything is tagged and kind of categorized in our database. This makes it much easier to build because as we all know, in GameMaker, this is not possible. And also on the marketplace, you just can't search. So we decided to put a focus also on accessibility. And we can now assign these grass blocks, let's say.
And I see at the top right, it says top, bottom, left, right. Are those like quadrants of the block that you can change?
That's the side.
That's just part of like a picture of what it looks like.
Yeah, it's kind of each side of the block. The six side, it represents the six side.
Got it. And then there's a hex number underneath it, I see. And then the ID number, if you want to find it in its obscure location on the marketplace.
That's well said, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That looks cool. As you see, it's trippy, but that's cool.
Exactly. And we have now already a few very simple grass blocks assigned here on these top surfaces.
Okay.
We can choose to use whatever we want.
And in this case, Pepe, what would you recommend to someone who is a beginner? Say, if you weren't here to advise me on what to do, what would you recommend that I stick to? Or how would you recommend that I go about this?
Basically, I really would think, go kind of global and think about your style, your vision, in how you want to visualize everything, and really start with these basic assignments, let's say.
So let's say that then the wall to me looks really pixelated. I like to make it a little bit more monotone with some color changes, but...
Exactly. This is what we do right now. We go for the walls and we also go for the sandstone because we also have some various blocks here that are a bit off. We actually have already assigned some sand blocks, but we will...
Yeah, the one with the the one with the wavy look, that looks cool. I like that.
This one? Yeah.
Yep,
We have a gradient with this one, so we definitely will try this afterwards. Okay. Or actually, let's do this first. As you said, we have this wavy. Let's search for.
So I would be searching for like sand, like you're doing right now, and then from there I would try to pick the various types of sandstone you have to make something that looks appealing.
Yes, exactly. Okay. That would be the basic idea. We have so sand then. And...
So then, correct me if I'm wrong. If we hadn't applied a gradient to during Magic of Voxel, we wouldn't be able to do this. It would all just be one sandstone color.
Exactly. That's exactly what
we see? Would, I'm starting to see the magic behind this. Okay. All right.
So we slowly... let me see. We actually should start with the brightest tone. I would say it would be...
Hey, nice. That looks good. I like that.
This one?
One before? That's good too. The one before.
Let me check.
That's fine.
We quite have a few. Let me check. Actually.
Too bright. That's good right there. Yes. Looks good.
We have more tones down here, but they're already assigned, I think. If we can go even.
Starting to see it now. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Yep.
Looks good. What we also have, and this looks quite quirky, but I decided to do the whole ground as a radial gradient. This will give quite a bit of effect when you dive to the ground.
Nice.
But for this, we also need to assign some sand.
I want it to look visually appealing when you dive. Something that you can see through and it's not just darkness. Exactly, okay.
Yeah, this is exactly what you mentioned in the last episode. So I thought we'd just try this effect. I never tried, but we will see it.
So you're picking different degrees of the brighter sandstone.
Yes, exactly. This is actually just sand. You see it? Just grainy sand. And up here we have this wavy sand that you decided to go for. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope we have assigned everything on the sand now. So what we also want to do now is to make these, as you quite polite mentioned, they are quite pixelated, and even worse, they have some tech sci-fi blocks
and so when you first port this over, it's going to automatically assign things like it did
based on the palette that you had. But this is the magic kind of, you don't need to know the exact shade or color because we assign it now, and after that you can re-export your voxel file back to Magic of Voxel or Voxelit if you want and work further and already have your assigned colors in there from there. So actually, let's do the stone walls here. We search for, not sure what they are called, but I know that there are some quite cool. I think it's this set.
Okay, we're getting closer.
Exactly. So this is a brighter stone. Let's check this one.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And then we have a few more.
What is the little itty bitty rectangle beneath the block? mean? Over in the yes, which there. One? Right there. Like all of them has a little pretty rectangle beneath it. That.
Ah,
what is that?
The mini dot. This is the hex. The hex color. That is assigned.
Got it.
We will have an option that you kind of assign your own colors to your own blocks, but these are just the colors that we did kind of combine with our existing sets.
Got it.
You know.
Okay.
So let's actually see that we have a.
And there's a button there. I'm trying to figure out. Next to the import button to the right.
Yeah.
Above the palette.
Yeah.
The one on the left. Yes, what is that one?
Yeah. This one, I can press it and you will see it. I can load a palette, a custom palette. I have actually here one, but I just don't want to mess up everything that we already did. So let's wait.
And what
it
will like it will load all of that to the right hand side or in the
It will update this palette field here. And if you already have your assignment made, you can. This is kind of your backup or your safe system when it comes to your block assignments. You know,
okay.
Because you can save as a Vox file, top bar on the left, top left corner. But you also can just save your palette with this button here. You see it here.
Gotcha.
It gives you this. It's just one line of one pixel.
I see. And that's the arrangement also, that I see in the palette.
Yes, this you can load into VoxEdit, into MagicaVoxel, wherever.
That ain't no thing. That makes total sense.
Yeah, cool. It's just another way for you to work with the palette. But we have assigned now already a few nitty-gritty stone bricks, as you see.
Mm-hmm.
We might want to change this one to not sure is this suitable kind of a stonework. So this is a process that especially if you don't know the blocks itself yet, you know, that are available to you, this will be kind of an exploration phase, you know.
Got it. Let's make that one the top of the that right there, that color. The sides that you just had that color. You get what I'm saying? You had it right. You had it right. I liked it before.
The bright
neon.
One?
Yep. The sides. Nope, one more. But it was before that.
So kind of just like this?
No, it was like bright blue. The tops were bright blue.
Oh, okay.
What you had originally. So, neon.
Oh, okay. We can go back actually since a few.
That right there. So make the sides of the tower that color.
Neon?
Yep.
Okay. I think there is a glowy one.
So go down. No, not that one. Not that one. Go back one. All right.
This one, you mean?
That the one. Yes. The beams.
Yeah.
Make the beams. Yes. There we go. Okay. There we go. Good.
Awesome. This will be an emissive. It's actually it's a TSB block.
Okay.
Check it out here.
Yep.
It's called
I see it.
Metaverse Glow. It's just an emissive blue block, actually.
Cool.
It can look cool and we can check it out in the
we'll see
now.
We'll see
we will see exactly. And I think we're already
it looks good to me
neat here exactly.
So once we assign the blocks, what happens next?
We always can check again how our voxel kind of model would look like, but right now we have our blocks assigned. And I would say we are ready to rumble in GameMaker now and test this thing. Because
so then after you've assigned the blocks, you import it to GameMaker?
Yes, exactly. I will download quickly as Vox so that we also have
Now, how did you do that? You click the little download.
Top left. Yeah, we have various download options.
Box, LPK.
LPK update and OBJ. OBJ is to work with your map, for example, even in Unity or Godot or do games outside of Sandbox if you want to. So that's an option that you have now with your level designs. But let's stick to the Sandbox now. And we export a file format that is not kind of publicly supported right now. And it's more for internal use and for trusted partners and all that. So this is exactly where we work together with the Sandbox team itself. We want to make this process as easy as possible for everybody to push your maps to your own account and then play them and test them. Going back again into Magic Palette, do your changes, iterations where you see fit, and even go back to your voxel model if needed to change really full landscape masses, shift them around, do crazy stuff, apply new shaders, combine things that actually are not possible in GameMaker right now. So this is it's always kind of a back and forth in between your tools to accomplish the desired game level, you know.
Gotcha. So which button was it that allowed you to import it to GameMaker?
Yeah, exactly. We now import to GameMaker. Give me a second. This will take a minute because I need to find my GameMaker installation, and the resolution just messed up everything here, but we will get there. No problem. So we now have our file and we need to drop this file into a location.
Which button are you pressing to export to GameMaker?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to go too much into depth with this one because it will change. You know, as I just said, we're working with TSB development team, especially GameMaker development team, hand in hand to enable an easy process here.
Got it. Okay, no problem.
Fully evolved and development is in the early stages, but this is the goal on our side, you know.
Okay.
So that things are as easy and as approachable as possible. So let me check quickly. Yes. I think I found it. So let's fire up GameMaker.
All right.
I will push this to hopefully we don't have a massive update.
Nope. Yeah, hopefully it didn't update in the few days that we were here.
Yeah, and you see now it detected the kind of, it says it's an old game.
As it does, all the time.
Yeah. And now it migrates my land that I just exported from Magic Palette. Let's see if this is going well. So we go to our workspace. And it should be here. It doesn't have a preview yet, but this should happen afterwards. So this is exciting. First time
we see
our mini map, or kind of it's a large scale project. It became a 2x2 actually already.
That's cool. I'll put it on one of my 2x2s. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah, you can definitely refine and evolve it from here and make a full game out of it, I would imagine. Ooh,
that's wow, all right. Oh, that's much better than I thought it would be. Okay. But the wall turned out great. I like the wall.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So this is first look into our
experience. Yeah, I think it looked good. So now we can start applying logic and putting down the different assets that we're looking for.
Exactly. Let me check somewhere.
Oh, because each one is now a voxel or a block. We can start influencing it as if it were really we made it in game.
Of course. But the most fun part right now is to check how things look. And especially what I also would do at this early stage to find out. Where was my spawn point? Here? Yeah, here. Important to set your spawn somewhere so that you can start your journey. To explore.
Start your journey, he says.
Yeah, of course. You start to assign what, or even start placing assets now already. What I would do first is going. Of course, you don't need to use the prefab. We now have the option to tune in this quite nicely. But let's see what we get if we. Do new, I don't know. What do you guys like? Knight is also neat.
Knight's fine. Yeah. And then put the spawner right there at the beginning of the gate.
Yes, cool. Okay. Let's see, there's a bit orangey. The knight is cool, but it is something that also like this one here, it shifts your colors quite heavily. You will see this. Once you're in game, but let's check this one for now, and we drop into the game. So first time we are live in our map.
Wow. Okay. And that's bigger than I thought it would be. That's cool.
It's super big.
I can see that if I needed to make changes, I would make changes on the really bright sand. Super bright.
Yeah.
Okay, try and take a dive into the big ocean.
Yes, we will. We will now, of course.
So are you taking fall damage right now?
It seems so.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. So as you see, I mean, nothing is connected. I would, of course, add some bridges and stairs and all that. But let's dive in. Yeah, as you said. It's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. So if I were to add things like I'd add fish, different aquarium type items. You're about to die.
I'm running out of oxygen.
That's okay. I like it. I can see how easy this is now to do stuff like this. Yeah,
as you see, you really can explore now what we did build in Voxel. So that's quite cool, I would say.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Do we get some air? Yeah.
Oh, awesome. All right.
So we're now in a cave somewhere. Yep. I'm not sure where, but it needs to be on the backside of the... Let me check. Yeah
there it is. Side
of,
okay.
Of our map.
So this is when you had applied those shaders,
yes,
made it blue, and then assigned the blue block to be this wavy ocean style.
Yes. Okay. I mean, the ocean blue is because we are underwater right now. And actually, we now actually really.
And you're
die,
about to die.
That's okay.
Okay, cool. No, I totally get it. Makes sense.
Yes. Yeah.
So the magic behind Magic Palette is its ability to, number one, make it to where you can create a map through Box Edit. So it offers you more powerful. Okay. Creation origins. And then once you import it, you're able to mass copy replace the blocks of the same color.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, each type of, as you see here, we have various types of stone bricks, and you decided on these glowy things.
I sure
here.
Did.
So you see them here, live in action. It's quite cool. It's
all my terrible designer choices. Yeah.
It's perfect for now.
Okay.
But that's the beauty. We now can test things live. In the environment as we are, as we design. This is why I suggested to add a kind of the ambience or the setting as soon as possible, because it really gives you this final outlook, you know. So if you decide that you want to go night, you should do it now and then start seeing, okay, this block fit. I really like, for example, now the whole sandstone stuff is not that bright anymore, so it's totally nice, you know.
Gotcha.
And,
okay.
And all these design choices when it comes to blocks can be made much easier if you decide on your light settings. And as you see, we have plenty of room to build, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you can start placing assets as you need to.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I was thinking of just the other day, Pepe, as you showed this to me, and and now that I see it more fully, I still hold it to be true. As a landowner myself, I am not talented like AU24K is in asset design, and as you are in game making, let's call it. And Eduardo and sending messages and creating just works of extravagant art. What I can do, though, is offer places to which those creations can be housed. So if I had a 6x6, let's call it, then I could theoretically have you or AU24K or Touche or whoever else just start mass producing Magic palette games that then at that point all you would need to do is just have them develop the assets to which to make the game, whether it be a first person shooter or just an exploration, an RPG. You could really accelerate the time it takes to just creating the assets that you want to mint.
Yes, I mean it is all block based as we know and see here, but as soon as you start adding details, and this, as you just said, can happen very fast with also existing assets that you have already.
Yeah. That makes them where they can spend more time on the logic and the RPG aspect of it versus the
Definitely.
Just like click click. Click,
yeah,
click,
yeah.
Click to put all the blocks down.
Yes, especially more sophisticated, I would say, how do you say, designs usually go or are easier to achieve with assets, as we know. And you can go much more detailed.
Gotcha.
But as you see already here, if we place some scaffolding here along the walls, they are all of a sudden not that boring anymore.
Yeah.
And if we would add more top rail details and all that, it really can evolve fast, you know, and that's the beauty. You can sometimes, what we also do when it comes, for example, I would when we really would go back to our reference image, it's kind of these whole hills here would have a sprawling city, medieval city that is with buildings and all that. I would do buildings maybe part out of blocks, but mostly out of modular elements, assets in our case here, that I would place. And I think that would be give us quite a cool city escape also in no time. So it's always a combination of blocks, assets, then of course logics and effects and all what you need on top of it. But to flesh out your level designs, and as you just mentioned, this is exactly the beauty of Magic Palette. It accelerates it heavily and makes things possible that were not possible before, you know.
And like once you have it here in GameMaker, are you able to go back to fix it? And if you see something you need to fix?
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's the cool.
Ooh, a cool dark thing. Ship. Go ahead and place a dark ship.
Yeah, I want to, but I'm not sure if I can. Oh, here it is. Ta-da.
Nice. Okay, cool.
It's, oh.
No, that's cool too. Let the ship be sideways. That's fine.
On grinding okay, so on the wall.
So if you needed to fix something, you would just go back into Magic Palette and then you would then just re-upload it again.
Exactly. That's a beauty.
Okay.
It's all everything.
Oh, you died. I could have told you that was gonna happen.
It's always just one jump too far. But it's exactly what you just said. It allows you to iterate on the block on block based kind of design choices. Oh my ship!
Whoa! Is that ship going someplace?
Yeah.
What the?
It has an animation.
Okay.
Cool. But I'm not sure if I can climb it. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's
cool. Yeah. You see, I'm already.
See. All right. You have your own ship, Captain Jack Sparrow.
Exactly. And you see, we are ready. Off we go. You
know? How about that? So
cool.
So then that's really the Magic Palette version of it right there, is to get it to where you can import it into GameMaker.
Yes. And going back, because for example, we might be not super happy now with the walls or
with
whatever.
With the neon part of the walls.
Yeah. or with the neon. And of course, we now can change it here. You know, everything is edible, and we you can destroy everything here as you would usually, or add more blocks.
To use this version right now that you're fixing up and put it back into Magic Palette?
Yes. Right now, I would grab a file. Kind of a hidden file right now, and export this back into Magic Palette, and from there I get all the updated info on the blocks, you know.
And by the time you get to the part where you release it, though, it'll be more obvious what you need to do.
Yes, this is the goal. It is quite challenging to get this up and going with the GameMaker team, but we are on it, and we truly hope that we can present a very straightforward solution here to really enable going back and forth in between Magic Palette and GameMaker. As what we will do and already working on, we will actually implement a super simple play your experience inside the browser already to test things. We think this has great value for builders when you kind of actually what we just did in GameMaker, that we can do it here in Magic Palette already to a certain extent.
Got it.
We, you know, just to walk around and to figure out the distances, how things look and all that. Of course, not asset and logic placement and all that. This always will be reserved to GameMaker, but we want to make the workflow as approachable as possible.
I think you've succeeded in that, Pepe. Even someone as myself, who I am quite an amateur at this, even I can see how, especially with the mass replacement of a hex cell to a sandbox marketplace object, I guess it's classification. That right there is the power of this thing. makes it much simpler for me to access the customization aspect of GameMaker. And then when I import it over into GameMaker, at that point, all I'm worried about is placing assets, creating logic and its messages, and the quests. That is pretty exciting, yeah. Pepe. That is exciting.
Cool. Yeah, we are excited on various fronts as well, because we see way beyond, and we have of course our roadmap that we push forward to. We see great potential also on the generative side. We didn't look into this today, but you know, we also have these generators where you can create your own games out of the box with just we did see this last time with just a few clicks, and we have various generators in the works that we are quite exciting about. And one thing to give you a bit, I actually can load this one, give me a second. So just to finalize, I think that this is, we showed the full scope already.
I see it.
quite nicely. Mm-hmm. Let me load one other voxel file that I just, I'm not sure if Alex is still here, but he did work on this one.
Alex, if you're still here, say something in the chat so we can give you some congrats on your work. Yes. So Alex did this one?
Yes, he did. I mean, it was a back and forth between him and myself. But you see this quite quirky version of this little castle here. And it has some funny colors, but these are the colors that we already have assigned in Magic Palette. You will see it in a second. And the cool thing here, and you will see a bit more in detail why we have all these kind of pixelated colors here on the wall, for example, and all that. And also why we have, for example, these super weird gradients here in the center plaza.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I load this one now in Magic Palette, let me find it. I think it was this one. Yes, cool. So this is what we just did see, voxel based. And now once we zoom in, we see that we have a quite advanced block set assigned to all this, you know. Each color became on a very specific spot, became for example these stained glass windows or this top stone blocks that you see here. These are consist out of two blocks that work hand in hand, or we have a quite detailed pavement, or we have wooden boxes, just all block based, you know. And I think this is the beauty of when you really deep dive into blocks, you can go quite detailed and really, really excited in with the power of Magic Palette. This is first time possible to do such things.
And this was using totally Magic Palette.
Yes, this is, as you see, we can go back to the voxel format.
Go back into where the crates were. You must have used a different color, right? Yes, yes, I see now. I see.
And
now that is clever. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. And makes also sense. The pavement. If you take notice of the pavement, you know,
mm-hmm.
we have various shades here in the center.
That really opens up a lot of possibilities.
Yeah, seamless patterns or transitions, or as we did see, these gradients.
Yeah.
All that stuff here, you know. Also here down, even just the simple shading here. This is all possible now. And
Kachinga said in chat that he had never thought of blocks in that way before. And I agree completely. I had not thought of it that way either.
Yeah, that's cool. That's exactly. It was even for ourselves and our team quite a bit an eye opener once we were able to do this here, you know, because you really start thinking about these blocks in a different way.
Yeah.
And
go back to the model. I want to see what the blocks were for the faces, those gargoyle statues. Yeah. What did those look like in the voxel?
just two blue tones.
So why didn't the top portion, go back to the voxel? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. Why didn't that change the same color as the ones below? Because it looked like the same hex.
It's not.
It's not similar, the same hex. It's subtly different. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It here. It's 0.
That's eight, cool, Pepe. That's a job well done in my book.
Cool. Yeah. And it looks a bit quirky, I would say. If
you see but, it like but this. Once you start assigning blocks, then you can understand the power of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And
that makes complete sense.
Yeah, actually, this is something that Alex is working on right now. We're doing a little like an. Do we have Game Maker still open? Yes, we have. Let me go back to main menu. We have this one. I'm not sure if it's. I'm not sure where it is, but I might find it. We have many tests.
I have no doubt.
Test lands that are quite wild. I actually can't find it right now, but I'm sure it is somewhere. One thing that I can show you is another. And we did see this map. We shared it on our Twitter, X, and other socials. This is another 2x2, and is actually also quite neat.
Is Alex again?
Yeah. No, this one actually is a Minecraft build.
Okay.
So this is straight exported from Minecraft.
You can export from Minecraft?
Yeah, this is something that we worked on just recently. And you see, it gives us this quite bloody. I mean, these are the blocks that I have assigned now to this map here. But you can have all the different styles and moods assigned to this to this experience as you like, you know, because
how did you import it from Minecraft? Did it export as an object or what?
No, it actually really imports Minecraft schematic files right now. Magic Palette, we just upgraded our file loader recently, and we were able to support this format. This format you can get by using tools inside of Minecraft and take kind of a portion of your build, kind of make a snipping box and export this as a file. It's a schematics or shem file. You can import now into Magic. Magic Palette, and from there into Sandbox, and we think this gives huge opportunities to a large builders community that we didn't tap into yet. You know, we all know there are hundreds of thousands of very talented Minecraft builders, and we think this could open quite an exciting revenue. Model for also for them or for builders, not only publish on Minecraft servers, but maybe also on Sandbox, you know, their experiences.
That's cool.
Yes. So we
well done, Pepe. I'd say that this is exceeding the expectations of what you even described in the SIP itself. I hadn't imagined what this. That would look like. I didn't know what that would look like. And then as you kind of shown how it will replace entire segments, entire colors of a block with a block that exists within the sandbox marketplace, and that those blocks become it pretty much expedites your ability to create in Game Maker to where you can get to the actual RPG element or the triggers and the different stuff it takes to actually make the game the game.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. You see, just to
finish the screenshot.
Yeah, and that's the spawner is somewhere in nowhere.
As Kachinga says in chat, it lets him focus on the gameplay more. I completely agree.
Yes, exactly. And really let you test things fast, you know. I mean that was always our intention, and this is exactly what we used it in our own productions to get you going fast, you know, and see how things look, the proportion, the spatial awareness of a level, does it work in game, how do we want to build certain spaces and all that. And as you see, before it was quite a dark, vampiristic, bloody scene. Yeah. And now we have a full snowy landscape.
Yeah, it looks a lot and like Lemuria from Golden Sun. Did you ever play that game?
No, I didn't. But I think I know what you're referring to. Yeah. And this is the power of Magic Palette. You can swap themes of your existing builds, fully completed games, and just give it a winter theme with just a few clicks, you know, and all
that's impressive. Well, I'd say money well spent on this one. The DAO, I think, made a good decision on investing in this SIP. And you said it will only take about 3 to 4 more months before it's available to the community for usage.
Yeah, that's our goal. We press hard. We really push as fast as possible. We have a lot of features that are in the works. Some stuff is already ready and up and running, as you see. The base idea is fully working and all web-based, so super approachable. Yeah, we are excited, as hopefully you are.
I am very excited. I'm more of the, you know, landowner business person myself, but even I can see myself having the ability to approach the concept of game making in a way that makes it, let's call it, it makes it to where I can at least try to make the attempt. Whereas before, I would have to be placing individual blocks and I would have no hope of creating something at all to work with. But this gives me a fighting chance.
Yeah.
This gives me the ability to start. And especially for those who are really, really good at this. Oh my gosh, I can't imagine what Touche is going to do with this. Or Kachinga in the chat is going to do with this.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Super excited.
Well, thank you for explaining this. I think it makes it very clear what the value of Magic Palette really is. I don't think there's any doubt now.
Cool. That's our approach. We want to make everybody a builder. This is why we also come in with our procedural generated levels, because we think making even these mini-maps, especially these detailed ones with quite complex block sets, it is a bit more advanced, but you even as novice, you can get there. But as landowner, and as you said, there are a lot of landlords that might never have the intention to touch Vox Edit or even Game Maker. But even
as
for
much
these,
as I want to, I just don't have the time to. But this makes it a whole lot easier, accessible, as Kachingan said in the chat. Makes it accessible. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. And of course, this is just one sample. And I did show you this, where you could publish just, for example, the dungeons. We have, as said, other generators in the works that are quite exciting. But this can be, this is ready and can be loaded into GameMaker. And each time, if you generate here a new map, it's totally different. You can adjust the settings, the parameters, create a new map, and push this to your land. And you have something to play on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, to work with, to play with.
Oh, that makes sense.
And to invite your friends and gamer community to actually play something on your land, because right now it's barren and that's sad for all of us, because we don't want an empty metaverse, you know.
Right. I think cool. this makes that very, very obvious now. So I'll move it back to the slides itself. And so what's obvious is today we went through the four steps it took to get to what you saw just a few moments ago, which was that on step five, we started with start assigning blocks in Magic Palette. And there were 1,500 blocks to choose from. And you assign a block by replacing a single hex, which will replace all of the hexes Magic Palette loaded experience that you've imported. And when you do that across time, as you saw from what Alex put together, you can really start to change the visual flow of what things look like and make it much faster in your building. So after that, you in step six, you download the file and import it to GameMaker, and then import into GameMaker, and then you start creating all the things you know that you normally have to do, like your logic, your spawn location. And Pepe said, make sure you change your ambience immediately. So the day, the night, the desert, whatever it was. And remind us one more time, Pepe, why did you want us to do that immediately?
It's more like, because these light settings in GameMaker do in from a designer's perspective, they inflict or they kind of alter the colors of your game and actually your blocks, how they look, quite heavily. You know, in night you have a bluish tone overshaded over everything, and sometimes you lose a lot of details when you decide to go for a night mood, you know. So this is why it's just a recommendation. I mean, this doesn't need to happen immediately, and sometimes it's also cool. For example, in one of our last productions,
zoom out just a little bit in the one that you're showing right now. Zoom out so we can see the whole thing as you're talking. Yes, there you go, right there.
Yeah,
continue.
Sure. Yeah, and the cool thing is you can also just dial in a standard preset or something and go from there. And once you have a more finalized build and having even added some asset and some emissive stuff and all that, because this is also quite a bit challenging in GameMaker. Once you have this dialed in, then you really tweak your light settings to your liking, you know. But it's just a recommendation that you see what you get. It's kind of it's exactly this approach, you know.
Okay.
Because this we can simulate. I mean, actually, we have plans to do it to a certain extent as well here in Magic Palette. But as said, we don't want to replace GameMaker, and we don't want to replace any powerful voxel editor as Magicka Voxel or VoxEdit. We are the chain link in between, you know. We kind of make things talk to each other with Magic Palette.
So after importing the GameMaker, you start creating the logic, the spawn location, the ambiance, And then in step eight, the final step, you start placing your assets, your NFTs, and you finish the game itself, having expedited your block building process. And then you have a game ready to publish. So we did this in two episodes in about an hour and a half each. So that's a max of 3 hours that you can get this thing underway. I'd say a max too. And that was with me interrupting Pepe and saying, hey, change this and change that. Whereas as a builder yourself, you would do this much more fluidly than I, and you could probably get it down under sub 2 hours if you really want to, maybe even less than an hour. So I'd be interested to see how quickly you could manually create from the blockout process all the way to importing it. I imagine this is cutting down on it big time. So congrats to you, Pepe and Alex and the rest of your team for creating a way that for us to be block designers rather than just block laborers clicking until it's, you know, most of us have been there. If you've developed experiences, even I have been there trying to get some of my experiences online. So thank you.
Yeah, that's cool. We are super excited and very also pleased that you see kind of the potential of our app here. And there's so much more that can happen here. Of course, we only tackle down this everything is block-based, voxel or block-based. So there are limitations, but actually I can give away that we already work with automated asset placement and all that type of stuff. So yeah, the future brings quite some exciting things, especially on the generative part.
Good. I'm excited to hear that, Pepe, because it sounds like you, even from the beginning when you and I had first interviewed on this, that you were looking to provide more than what the SIP had originally was designed around. And I looked back and it was 350,000 sand, which was the most expensive one so far, but clearly a good use of the DAO's resources for what value you provide. And you're looking to provide even more that you haven't even announced yet. And to me, that's a win-win for the community. I congratulate you. Thank you. This looks like a job well done. And I look forward to being able to use it myself.
Awesome. This is exactly what we hope for, that everybody tries at least or give it a shot. Even just in this very reduced or simple form of generating your own little levels. I think it's quite magical to see your land become from a non-existent little dot on the map and actually start pushing ideas and content and cool games to your lands.
So this will conclude episode number two, part two. We're going to do one more part where we do kind of like a debrief of what we had done in episodes one and two, but then we'll end up with a discussion where we explore Pepe's experience with SIP number six after it was passed. So for all of you who are very interested in SIPs and how you can produce your own, how does it work after you have a SIP that's been approved? We're going to explore that in episode three with him, and unlocking the milestone payments. How has development gone versus what he expected it would be? And then the mention of the power users and just a general feeling for how did the DAO play a part in the SIP success or not? How was it a roadblock? And really just kind of working out the truth and the reality so that if you were to do this yourself, you know what to expect and you can be just as successful as Pepe and his team are, which by all accounts, extremely successful. So thank you again, Pepe. I appreciate your time on that.
Thanks, Lancer, for having us.
Super
excited. Yeah, let's dive into more the SIP aspect or kind of the DAO aspect that came with everything here. We, of focus heavily on pushing our milestones and going through these phases, because right now our goal is not only to unlock kind of what we have described in the SIP, but also to see what everybody can create with Magic Palette. This is what we worked so hard for. And as you said, we have much more in the works that was promised. And I think it's a good sign, because we are dedicated and we really want to make this work. For example, the Minecraft aspect is quite huge in our opinion. And if we as a community can invite other builder communities to work with us with such tools, it's just a win-win in our opinion and all that.
Yeah, awesome. I completely agree. And so let's finish up here and we will conclude. So future episodes, episode number 15 is already done. I can't believe we're at 15 episodes. Oh my gosh.
Amazing work. Great.
Oh, I'm blown away by that. So we will continue looking to bring on advisory board members, special council members, people of SIP follow-ups. So I'll be looking to, I'm going to reach out to Remy from the SIP on the landowner side, the one that passed a little while ago, to see how close are we to where that's going to start, and landowners will earn their increased rewards. And the two SIPs that are about to close look like they need a lot of quorum, and that is very concerning. I hope that if you haven't voted, please go vote. It hasn't even reached 50% quorum when we really need that in. That's how many days do we have left? Ooh, I'm in the wrong. Let's go to sandboxdao.com. Oh, that's not it. It's the sandboxdao.com, isn't it? That's not it either.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and look. But we are within at least 24 to 48 hours. So please go look.
Yeah,
and vote.
It's usually Wednesday each. Each second Wednesday it's the turn is.
Yeah, I
so
see
it
now.
Be,
so
as you said,
24 hours. We have one day left. So please go vote, because there's I've interviewed both of them. The budget for blockchain events, which was Hermit Crab Studios, and then the mandate for DAO collection, which was Arthmort and his big expertise in curation. So there was a lot of debate on both of them in the forums, but please go vote. This only works if we all vote, whether you vote for or against. So there's that. I mean, Pepe already has the vote, so he's just enjoying the fruits of his success right now at this point. But it
of
definitely...
course, we still need to deliver, you know, it's not all done. But we did quite a lot of effort to reach the quorum. And I think this is
the hard
sprint that you need to do when you go for a DAO, for a SIP, sorry. This is the challenging one. Of course, your idea needs to be striking and kind of need to make sense to the community, to the builders and to the landowners. But the quorum, that was the challenging part in our case. Yeah.
And I'm going to be doing the same thing you are soon, Pepe, because it looks like my SIP for the Sandow podcast, funding of this podcast right here, is about to hit vote. And then my revenue options, where I piece together a team of finance experts, entrepreneurs, different blockchain specialists to propose revenue plans for us to SIP into existence, so that we are earning money for the DAO versus just spending the money. And that's a lesson learned from the ApeCoin DAO. So both of those are getting very close to vote, and I'm gonna have to be doing the same thing you did, where I'm contacting people, I'm trying to get people to vote. So I'm very close to doing that, it looks like, in the
awesome.
Placement. Yeah.
Exciting times.
So, exciting times, and sure, indeed. So, the last thing we'll end with here is the Sandbox Spaces. I added this slide here. If you are interested in connecting with the Sand fam, there are different places you can do that. There's a Discord, so the Sandbox Game Discord, and then there's a DAO discussion forum. under the actual Sandbox DAO forums itself, if you want to talk about the SIPs that are coming in and you want to discuss, and that's where you can offer feedback to the different SIPs that you see, like the blockchain one or the Sandbox Academy that I interviewed a few days ago. Then there's Twitter. So a lot of Twitter is going on. So SandFam, Sandbox DAO, or Sandbox Game. And then during the week, there are multiple Twitter spaces. On Mondays, there's Mochaverse Hall. On Saturdays, there's Bulls on the Block. Monday through Friday is Coffee with Captain. They're very ape coin centric, but they will talk about the Sandbox if you show to talk about it. Whale Members is one of the largest landowners in the whole Sandbox. One of the largest. They're just waiting on delegations before they go and vote. And I think, Pepe, you had an encounter with them as well. And
they're awesome. But they can't delegate yet. And
yep.
This is what they're hindered to vote. Because they have quite a powerful entity in the whole game once they can vote. Yeah.
I think they had over 1,600 lands is what they, which is more than 7 million voting power about. They come together on Tuesdays, which, by the way, I didn't know this. Mia Bao, who is one of the advisory board members that I interviewed yesterday, is a Whale Member partner because she knew one of the Whale Member original people called the people who put that together. She knew them back long ago. So there's a connection there. I didn't even know until I talked to Mia about it. And then SandFam Cafe, run by Pickaxe Master, which is done monthly. And so connect, because or this podcast itself, I will go over all things Sandbox DAO to include the SIPs like we're doing, where we're updating our the latest and greatest on SIP number 6, Magic Palette with Pepe here. And with that, I only see one person, Pepe, who is on Twitch right now. You want to guess who it is? He does this all the time. AU24K.
Oh, cool. Is he online? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm about to raid AU24K here. And we will end with that as soon as I get to... Where's the little button where I can raid? Give me my raid button. Of course, now, I guess I'll do it manually. / raid AU24K, right? To do it?
Yeah, oh, gosh. Something like that.
I have to do it in my own chat, I think. AU24K. There we go. And we're going to raid. So, thank you all for your time, Pepe, again. I love what you put together. It's obvious how much this is going to help the builders. So, thank you.
Thanks for having us, Lancer, in today's episode. And keep pushing the SandDAO podcast.
Right on. And Alex, don't think I don't see you in the chat. I appreciate what you did on the level that Pepe showed. It looks great.
Yeah. Excited to show you this maybe next time as a full game.
I'll see y'all. And good luck. Good luck, Pepe.